So I can remember the Cooper. And then the other side. If you came down the bottom of Chapel Hill, you went left, you're the Cooper. But if you went right, down towards, again, I'm going to Church Avenue, but heading down towards Easons Hill, there were two or three houses knocked down. What do we call, we had a name for those houses now that were called down? With the Cooper on one side. I can't, it'll come to me in a minute, name for those. We used to play there anyway. And they were kind of half knocked down houses. And they're gone since they've been a bit of a park laid out there now. But the name will come back to me after Geraldine on it. Yeah. But we used, that's another place we used to play in.
Yes. And were there any people, the characters that you remember from around the neighbourhood?
Oh, Geraldine, the place was full of characters. As a child, I can remember the rancher. The rancher, yes. Rancher. I remember the day the rancher got married. I was only young for him. The rancher got married. Young rancher used to chop sticks and have over by Shandon, all right. But what I remember about the grand first I got married in our chapel, and what I heard afterwards, and it didn't make sense to me as a child, but it made sense afterwards. When they got married, they came out and he said, we'll go to the small steeple now for a celebration. Oh no, she said, I'm going to Jack Ford's. Or I'm going to Jack Rum's. No, he said, we'll go to the small steeple. No, he said, we'll go to Jack. She said, you go to Jack Ford's, I'm going to the small steeple. And he went one way, she went the other, and they had their wedding party there. Happy old like that. I remember, who do I remember? The fellow with the snotty nose. Who was that again? Always wiped his nose. Was that Holy Joe? Was that, or was it?
I don't know.
Could be Holy Joe, always wiped his nose, but very good, you know, very kind to children and everything. Who else was there now? Do you know who was there then? And he's dead since, so I have to be careful. Would be, he used to play cards as well. He used to click the coin up in the air, kick it and come into his top pocket. What was his name again? Oh, for God's sake, Pennebury would know him no well. Tony Hennessy was kind of a character growing up. He was Mr. Soccer, and his mother was a great person. But who was the fella who used to kick the coin? O'Leary, Donny O'Leary. Mad Donny, we knew him as. Mad Donny, he used to be there. Who else? That's everybody. And birds, everybody had a bird. My father used to keep birds. Awful, no. He used to trap birds. We'd take canaries, not canaries, goldfinches and linnets, and then he'd breed them and he'd get a mule. So a lot of houses would have a bird cage outside their windows. Well, that just came to me there now. And they used to have birds.
Would many people go drag hunting in the area?
No, I never went. I'd be ashamed to say I never went drag hunting. But directly behind our house was a place called Barrack View. And there was a character called O'Callaghan. Now his sons still do, but they were actually related. His wife was Bridie Lorden. Funny thing about her area when it comes to me, and I know I was only talking to somebody the other night about all the women that got married retained their maiden names, because my mother would be known as Hannah Clifford, right? Mrs. Welch, Bridie Lorden, all the women were known by their maiden names. Funny thing, they held on to it. Esther Lorden, they never took their married names, which is kind of something good in a way as well. But coming back to that again, Mrs. Doyle married, right, O'Callaghan. Now this Mrs. Doyle would have been a daughter or a granddaughter of Connie Doyle of the famous armoured car. Right, and then this fellow Callan used to keep hounds there. There are still hounds there today. His son still has the hounds for the drag zone. And these were small houses, no, tiny houses, like, and they used to keep big families and big dogs.
Yeah, that's fascinating, Pat. And I think that around Cork City, and the north side especially, people love the opera too. The singing was there, would you remember?
Well, the opera, I saw the opera house catch fire. I was only a child. Saw the opera house cup and flame. I was only allowed to go down as far as Mulgrave Road and look across it. Yeah. The sky was just red. I remember that. I wasn't conscious. I'd be conscious of the opera house, except for the pantomimes, but I don't remember it much. The pictures were all big, and we were so many picture houses or cinemas now around Cork. We used to go to the cinema a lot, and I remember my father bringing me to the cinema. But there was one particular shop I should have thought of it there, had a huge influence on me later on in my life. At the very bottom of Shenda Street, just before you were adjoined with Blarney Street. There was a shop at the corner there, and it was Pilo's. It was a comic shop. No, people know what a comic shop that is, a sense of humour shop, and it wasn't. It was where you swap commies like the Beano, the Dandy, the Hotspur, all these things. And you could, on Friday night, my father would come up. He'd pass up another shop called Nosy Keeves. Nosy Keeves at the bottom, and he used to have the most beautiful broken chocolate. Every kind of thing. We'd get a bag of that, and he'd get a few comics for us. And we'd be as happy as Larry, because you'd read the comics, and the next day you'd go down and you'd swap them for some other comics.
You got to read everything.
And there was one type of comic called the Illustrated Book of Classics. It was a comic, right? A dear comic. But it dealt with everything from Robin Hood to El Cid to Huckleberry Finn. All the world tales were it. And I'd say that probably influenced me later on into, you know, in the storytelling world, that at that age you used to read so much. And yes, then they had comics called 46 pages, was it? That were war pictures, where the Germans couldn't shoot an elephant if it was 10 feet away, and the Brits could shoot at 200 miles away and still knock the eye out of a fly. Do you know what I mean? They were...
And what was Christmas like up around your neighbourhood, Pat?
Christmas was great. Christmas. I to this very day, I celebrate Christmas. I love Christmas with a passion, because for nostalgia, just for the cooking, in our house, because my mother was a great cook. Like, for our Christmas dinner now, you'd have the turkey stuffed, right? You'd have a couple of stuffings on it. You'd have bread stuffing and you'd have potato stuffing. You know, the chestnut stuffing, you know, this one, we just had the potato stuffing and bread stuffing. And I'd help with that. We'd all help with it, right? Then we'd have spiced beef, right? And the ham. The ham used to cause all the confusion, because midnight mass, you weren't allowed to eat before going to midnight mass, because if you're going for communion, you couldn't. So my mum would have the ham boiling, right? And we'd go to midnight mass, and we'd come back and we'd attack it. The other thing, Christmas to me would start, right, would send the letters away to Santa, all that. Now, I don't know how my father and mother did it. There was five of us, and we always got something. So I've only happy memories of it. I'm not looking at two rose tinted glasses. I honestly think we'd lovely Christmases. We had, my father and mother then would disappear into town on Christmas Eve to do the shopping. And they'd come back half cut, right? They'd be kind of nicely, yeah, right? And you'd get a half crown. You'd know what you'd get because of the father. You didn't drink that often, but it didn't suit him. He was a lovely, happy man when you're drinking him. So they'd be there. We'd head off to midnight mass. They might have a couple more drinks at home because they'd be going to mass on Christmas Day. And then we'd tackle the ham, the ham at that stage. So you had ham, spiced beef was a big thing. And then you had, you'd have, like, it was a banquet, no. You'd have roast potatoes, croquettes. No, when I say croquettes, we'd make our own croquettes kind of thing. Then you'd have everything. And do you know what we had? We used to have curried rice. This is way back when, you know, just people take no roast. But over long ago, my mother make a small pot of curried rice. Absolutely gorgeous. Then you'd have, no, of course, the dinner wouldn't start till about 3 or 4, and the smells coming out from the kitchen. You'd be weak with the hunger because, you know, you'd be smelling it, and yeah, and there was never a penny, it was 3 or 4, that kind of way. So I can't even talk because my mouth is water, you know, my tongue is swimming in my mouth, which was always good. No, but what we had then, St. Stephen's Day, we never ate meat. Our family didn't. It was a Kerry tradition that my brother brought back with her, that nobody ate meat on St. Stephen's Day because the house was full of meat, but by abstaining from meat, it was felt that you kept bad luck and ill health away from the house for 12 months. Now, whether it was a pagan thing or a Christian thing, I don't know, but I still don't eat meat on St. Stephen's Day. No, I'm not sure about the rest of the family, but I just do it because, you know, the old Irish saying, "Na ye nos agus na brish nos," don't make or don't break a tradition. So I still wouldn't eat meat on St. Stephen's Day, but 12:05 on St. Stephen's night, by Jesus, you couldn't get between me and the maid. You'd lose your life if you got between me and the maid. Stuffing and everything.